And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 147.
147?
Oh, I'm one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm another one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. We are here each week talking about some of the hottest topics, talking about some movies. Today we talk about Joe Biden's first week in office. We talk about two movies that I saw. Give quick little should you see it, should you not kind of. Samantha has a TV show and a movie documentary to talk about.
Yep.
She talks about Crack. The movie Crack, the movie.
Yep.
That's what they should have called it.
Yeah, I mean, they've heard me talk about hair crack on the show before, but this time we're talking about crack.
Crack.
That's right.
Crackety crack. Mm-hmm. Don't talk back. And we start off the show talking about my headshot dilemma and how to approach headshots. If you're a photographer or ever had your headshot, you may sympathize with this episode. And of course, we give our favorite recipes for the week, and our new segment, Dancing with Leon, is part of the show. So stay tuned for those. Samantha.
Yes, Silas.
I say.
I'm listening to you.
We're a month down. We got 1 month down into this. Right, January.
Oh, right. Into the this being 2021.
Next month.
Yep.
It's Black History Month.
That's right.
Should we do something Black and a Half History Month for this? That's the question.
That is the question.
Should we lean into our dark roasted selves? Do we?
Do you know? Let
Should
me
we
ask.
Do anything special?
When do we not? When do we not? It's called Black
Should
and Half.
Extra?
We not talk about at least.
I don't know. Do we get extra?
You know, maybe.
Is that
maybe
what everybody does?
Well.
Do you get mad at Black History Month?
Mad at it?
Do you get mad that there's a Black History Month?
I don't get mad that there's a month. I get mad that. It's only a month. Like I get mad that like the history I was taught in class, like 98% of it was white American male history. Oh, yeah. Wait, upper class. Let's remember how many people were left out. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I get frustrated by that, but,
I hope people are making, I want to find out for my daughter if they're making better conscious efforts, at least in like literature. Like I would rather, I'm like, I don't want them only doing the Black literature in February. Like
you
it should be
mad?
Spread out. I get mad that they put it all in 1 month instead of spreading it out through the year. I wish Black History Month was used better rather than just history. I wish it was, so this year, these are the goals we're going to accomplish to move, to improve the Black community. It's like that it's not a milestone month or something. Like Juneteenth maybe should be or two or something. Like here's the milestone. Have we reached it? We're going to do this now. We're going to attack this issue that hurts the Black community or work toward equity or reparations or something. I don't know. I feel like it's like it's just tossed. It's just a little, look, it's better than nothing, but I feel like it's just a little like breadcrumb. We'll talk about your history this month.
Yeah.
Like what? Mm-hmm. It's the month that we're going to do the I have a dream speech or something. Yeah, maybe they'll do that in MLK Day, but I don't know. It should be more or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because Because if Black History is in your heart, it should be year round. Right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just mad because I know they're going to like play Roots and stuff. As if that's the history. I wish, you know what? Here's what I wish. I wish it was like new history. Like, here's a bunch of shit you didn't know. Because it was always hidden.
Mean, I see what you're saying. It's like, it's just like the focus is very slim.
Yeah.
And
slavery, civil rights.
Right. You know.
It gave us some music. I love Black music. I want to hear more stories like the one like we've talked about on here, the woman that the hairstylist.
Yeah.
From that
self-made series.
Self-made. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like discoveries like that or like about Tulsa.
Yeah.
Not all the bad thing. Oh, by the way, have you heard about this last tangent before we get on?
Oh,
Greenwood? Did I tell you about the Greenwood Bank?
You did. I didn't really look it up more, but it was on my radar.
I want to tell people about this. This is very exciting. There's a new majority black owned bank coming out. It's going to be an online only bank. And one of the purposes is to help open doors for equity in Black communities to make easier access for loans for Black communities and such. You don't have to be Black to be a member of it, but it's called Greenwood Bank, named after the Black Wall Street community that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, before they were massacred and that Black Wall Street was burned to the ground. It's going to be an online only bank, which, you know, stuff like SoFi is, and there's some other ones. SoFi. Online only. So, but you get a debit card and you can, there's actually a lot of great things about online only banking. A lot of them, I can't say for this one because they're not out yet. You get on the waiting list. But a lot of them will like refund your ATM fees when you have to withdraw money because they figure, oh, well, we would have anyway.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than them having a branch places to refund your fees.
One thing I saw that was cool too, when you sent it to me, when I was looking on the website, is that they are actively, I mean, obviously go figure, but like they're actively involved in helping the money to go back into Black communities to help them.
Yes.
Uplift, you know?
So I'm excited.
So that's good.
As soon as it's open, I'm on the wait list. As soon as it's open, I'll start moving my stuff.
That's pretty cool.
But it is a Black owned bank. So, you know, you don't always get your money on time.
I knew you were going to make some joke about like time with that.
No.
I was a little bit like, oh, it's only online because I like going in places in person.
Still?
No, not now. But I mean, I like having the option to like go see somebody. You know, so that's the one part that I was like, oh, but it's only online. But, you know, maybe for like another account.
You know what? You should always have your bank in more than one spot. I've learned that from.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why it's like that could be a.
Never have your money in one place. Oh, yeah. Things could happen.
Uh-oh.
I've got like 4 stock accounts now, too, just so I can, in case things happen, can move it around, move things. Get some access.
Holy That's right.
I'm trying to get free stock.
Ooh, yeah.
I see something else says like get a free stock. I'm like, I'm there. Sign up. I want my free shit. I like free shit. Mm. I like free stuff and I cannot lie. All right. Yeah, that's it. Hey folks, if you've enjoyed the show, if we've entertained you, or educated you or made any change in your life, if you could please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review and a like, really appreciate that. If you could subscribe to the show, that would be wonderful. And we really appreciate that. And if you are a big old fan, you can actually join our Patreon, page at Patreon, patreon.com/black and a half. And you can become a member as a League of Extraordinary Listeners for as little as $1 a month. That's $12 a year. That is two coffees a year. You can become a member and help support the program, especially if you enjoy it. You can become also a member of the Inner Circle, right? And so we want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members, Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for making this show what it is today. Episode 147. By the way, that used to be my lotto pick. It was 147. That's what I would pick for my numbers, my daily numbers. When I did the dailies.
I'm going to go play that tomorrow.
That's right. 147. Yes. Any order? Exact order? Play them both. 50 cents. Do they do daily numbers? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I'm not playing it tomorrow. I don't even know.
I don't know if they do daily numbers. I should.
So maybe. Silas, what is it? Who sponsors this?
today's episode brought to you by our sponsors. One, sister podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That's me. That is a podcast where I teach everybody the art of buying a home, especially for first-time home buyers. Now in the top, is a top 25 podcast on Apple Podcasts. So thank you for your support if you're listening over there. And that's brought to you by Silas at Boutique Brokerage, new firm that I joined to give people a boutique experience and also help the historically disenfranchised become homeowners. And it's also brought to you by
Beyond Technique Coaching. So if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills for your personal or professional goals, you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. I help actors, public speakers, you know, anybody who's looking to communicate with more of their authentic selves. So happy to do that. And also at that sister podcast, Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Ron. And like you hear me mentioning later in the episode, I have on some awesome guests, one in particular that pertains to what Silas and I were talking about. So you might want to check out the episode with Joanna DeGeneres if you're thinking about headshots. She's an amazing photographer. Might have some good things in there for you to hear.
That's those podcasts. Those are
that's
great.
Right.
You should subscribe to those. But right now, you should open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 147, Tiny Toe Prints.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm taking a picture. I'll send it to my sister. I'll do something with it. I was entertaining myself while you were doing that.
Taking selfies?
Yeah, you know, I like a good podcasting selfie just in case if I can't go reference this online and see it myself, you know. Memories.
You know, our listeners are very fascinated by my headshot dilemma.
Are they? Because yeah. I want to know people's thoughts.
I'm getting my headshot this weekend, right? New headshot.
Exciting.
On my birthday, right? Okay. So I got a questionnaire.
Social media is going to tell me when your birthday is.
Yeah. I got a question. It's on a Saturday, so nobody's going to know. And no
Saturday.
One will say
okay, good.
And I'll just feel unloved. But it says on there, what kind of roles are you going to be going for? So that should
right.
help decide what I do for my headshot.
Yep.
I don't know.
Oh.
What role okay. I do look for? What should I be saying? Well, two things. I was like, well, I think I'm cheating with these headshots because they're not exactly, because I'm going to wear my glasses for one.
Yeah.
Because I do need them for my real estate. Mm-hmm. And I feel misleading taking a picture without my glasses, and then every time you see me, I'm going to have my glasses on.
Oh, because you never wear contacts?
No.
Well.
So it feels disingenuous. Somebody told me once, they said my comedy photo was wrong because I was doing a picture that didn't have a. Didn't have me like as.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you always wear your glasses, I'd say wear your glasses, but I could see like for agent-y stuff.
Yeah.
Like
for acting,
I think having it both is good for acting.
But I don't know. This whole idea of I'm just going to come in and I'm going to, oh, I got to present what I'm going to be like. Like, who is Silas? Hi. I don't know. I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the thing. Nobody knows who they are and everybody knows who they are. It's like this double-sided thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because like when people say, show me your personality, it's like, there's so many different facets of your personality.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what people see that I need to emphasize in this headshot.
Well, here's what I would say first is, what are the things that you typically get cast at? So those are like, those money roles when you have been cast.
But yeah, not.
Come on.
More circumstantial, it feels like. I did the Amazon commercial was the biggest thing that I did.
Okay. And what were you in that?
I was a weird guy.
Yeah.
That had a cat lamp.
You were like a quirky, like tech sort of guy, right?
I was a quirky guy.
Yeah.
With a little quirky lamp.
And then
Cuddles.
Yeah. So like character-y fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Like maybe you have a sweater vest sort of guy.
I think I had a sweater vest.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
At least had a sweater.
I feel like there's a particular sort of like brightness to that, like bright and like smart, like a little like.
Does that work for real estate though? Is that going to?
Oh, well, you're saying roles. So it's like for real estate.
I got to get real estate ones that I could use for comedy, ones for real estate. Ones for, I don't think comedy, I can pretty much anything. I don't even know if I'm going to do comedy when this is all over. So who knows?
You'll have one of your shots will work for comedy. But like the other thing is like, what roles do you see on TV that you're like, oh, I could play that character?
I literally didn't act because I didn't see anybody.
Oh, that's right. That was a dilemma because, I don't say that they have to look like.
I know, but who?
They don't have to look like you, but it's just like
there's
a character.
There's nobody like me. I'm so unique.
Yes, you're so unique, Silas. That's right.
What?
You should do
name
the George Costanza shot.
In. Well, name a role I could fit
you
in.
Could be like on a show like The Big Bang Theory, right? Like, don't you feel like you could just insulting. Walk right into a show like that?
That feels like feels like a hate crime. Like you're.
What? People love The Big Bang Theory. I'm not saying you have to be
not
as nerdy
like
as they are.
Nerds.
No, I'm not saying. No, I'm just saying like
Josh,
like a sort
Joshua
of
Chambers loves them, but
lots of people love that show. Like something where you're like smart and fun. Like I think
you think I'm
a character
fun?
Like that is yes, Silas. I think I don't see you playing a villain. Like you could play a villain, but when I meet you, I don't think this is a guy that plays a villain.
Which makes the perfect villain, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it would be a different sort of type of villain.
See, in college, I was cast as a villain. I've been cast as like the inspector. I've been cast as Charlie Brown. Like, I'm always, I think I am great for a repertory theater. Because you can drop me into something because I'm a strong enough actor that I'll pull off a lot of what you want. So you don't, but at the same time, you don't have to have me. I'm not the only person that can do that role, you know? So
that's
I'm good to have
how it is
here.
For a lot of people though.
Is it?
I mean, I think
because
almost
I'm not
any role that's
a lead role. I'm a supporting character.
True, but I think like even for leads, almost any lead role, like you see a few. There's at least a few people that could do the same role. They do it differently and put their own spin on it. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm never letting you talk yourself down. Is basically the thing. Like
know,
I'm not letting you
thing.
Like crap
like
on
a
yourself.
Walking meme. You're a walking motivational poster.
Oh, thank you. But no, I mean, I'm not going to like lie to you, but I think it's like, so when you get your headshots, you get your most marketable look of how other people take you or how you've been cast, right? But then you also can get that thing of like, well, this, like, I can play a villain and they didn't know that. You know, you get that, you know, other thing too.
It's crazy that I'm actually like, the problem is I've been cast in so many, the things I've done have been so vastly different mm-hmm. that that's helped me not know what I am. Because they just, they're like, well, you're diversity. I'll put you in here. You're in this.
I think there's, I mean, I'm, okay. How, what you're saying, I think is how I felt the like, maybe my third set headshot session. Mm-hmm. Like I've had like, by the time I had my last headshot session, I finally was like figuring out like what people were saying, like, what's your most marketable thing? Cause like the whole, you're an actor, you can play anything. And like, oh, I've played various things, blah, blah, blah. It's so freaking hard.
This is going to be the first time I've paid for a headshot in 20 years.
Damn, Silas.
I usually get someone to do them.
Yeah, no, it's good. You're paying for your headshot. You're going to get better headshots.
You're insulting both of my wives.
Well,
my ex,
I don't know your first wife and your second wife. We know that I deeply love,
yeah.
But like, you know, getting it from a professional headshot photographer who does, dude, Silas, listen to, I know I'm plugging it. I'm not meaning to, but listen to the podcast on my other podcast that I did with Joanna DeGeneres. She's like one of the top five photographers in LA from Backstage Magazine.
Really?
Yes. She's incredible.
How do you know her?
I talk to people, you know. I wish I'd gotten shots with her, but I didn't really know
she's
her
probably
then.
$1 million.
No, she's not. No? She's not. She's great. Actually, she's a UW alum, but we didn't go there at the same time. We didn't go there at the same time. But it's amazing because she like really connects with actors and gets with understand actors. But she, I mean, the interview is like, you know, I think we talked a long time, but it was just like so interesting to keep talking with her. But she does talk about like how to have a good headshot session or like what makes it. And I think that I totally get like how we can get totally in our heads right now, especially since this is the first professional one you're doing. Mm-hmm. But like when you're writing down this advice, I believe I got at a marketing class, like some actor marketing class back in LA. But anyway, when you're writing down your like various roles that you've had, like all of your Charlie Brown, this, that, and whatever, like pick three adjectives that describe each person, each role you've played. And they're probably going to be a couple ones that pop up consistently. Okay, great. Take dim-witted. A loser shot. Do a big loser shot, man.
Loser.
Do one.
Oh.
I like pick some music you love, you know, like what, get on the Facebook and ask people what character they would cast you as.
Oh God. No, not with the people I have on my Facebook. They're going to be mean and make me feel bad.
Okay, like even if you didn't see characters, okay, you don't see characters on TV that look like you because you're so unique, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be one like you really identify with. Like if they could look however they look, like who do you identify with? What like speaks to you?
You know, and that's an issue. Like, when I had that in college where they asked, like, I'd pick these things that I identified with and they'd go, Silas, that's not you. That's not, you're just not.
Like what? What's one, for example?
Like Starbuck in The Rainmaker.
I don't, it's been a minute since I've seen it.
Basically, it's Music Man. It's the straight play of Music Man.
So the Herald?
Kind of a Herald. Like I see myself as a Herald, but then people are going to, you're not a Herald. No. I'm like, but that's how I feel on the inside.
It's been a minute since I've seen it, to be honest, like the Music Man, to know it well enough.
You got trouble. I know. Here's the problem. I think I'm, or this is maybe, get this person. Like I see myself as Han Solo, but everyone else sees me as whiny Luke.
I totally got that reference. Yeah. I know who Han Solo is.
Okay. Wait, weren't you watching Mandalorian?
No, but I need to. Thank you. I need to add it because I'm. Yeah. Yeah, it's on the list, but I keep forgetting because I don't often go to.
What upsets me?
Disney Plus.
My brother listens to this, but it upset me. He wrote that he was watching Cobra Kai.
Yes.
He's like, I don't know why I waited so long, and I'm like, I don't know either because I talked about it on this show. Why are you not watching Cobra Kai?
We did talk about it because when I said I watched, yeah. You were so surprised. I was like, well, I did. I love karate. You know, I'm just realizing now, I feel like now we're talking about our problems with casting, right? I feel like one of my problems, especially like earlier at acting, maybe I will have my big break when I'm older. That'd be great. I mean, it'd be great to get it, but is I think I always kind of saw myself as these like characters that were older than me.
Yeah.
So I think I just wasn't like probably in that range for my most castable stuff, or at least for what interested me the most.
Yeah.
Now I feel like there's more stuff, like there's more stuff that would be interesting to me if I were younger now with what some of the younger people get to do now. Not like I'm all old, but.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to get two. They'll give me two retouched at the price I'm paying. And then give me other ones. And honestly, I can just go get the other ones retouched. I'm going to get a whole bunch of other ones. So
yeah,
I'll just send them out. Be cheaper than some dude.
Well, you know, you can always message me off of the podcast too, which we do. And
do you retouch?
Oh no, I mean, I'd love to, but I just mean like for like more like type, you know, figuring out what to.
Yeah, I don't think we want to do. This is like a therapy session. It's going to take years.
You know, and I'm here, you guys. It's very hard to type yourself in that fashion.
It's like doing a biography,
Well, yeah, and that's like this freaking most marketable thing. I know I'm going back on that again. Like,
what?
I think part of it was it took a minute to like see like, oh, these are those roles that I keep getting cast as, like that trend. So I get what you're saying going back. But then the other thing too is like people kept on being like, oh, you're a nurse or a doctor. You're very caring. You're this, you're that. I'm like, you're right. But like in my mind, I was thinking more like, well, I'm like the fierce detective. And it's like, yeah, I am. But what is it that you first get from me?
Yeah, it's that.
So it's that, like it's that second shot I show you.
It's why and you're like, people complain about that too. Like, oh, they're always playing the same role. That's because you judgmental people, the world, decide who somebody is in 2 seconds when you see them. So well, that's why they keep casting the same people in the same type of role, because you're going to assume they are that kind of person right away, no matter what.
Well,
unless it's an indie movie and they're able to explore and change themselves.
Yeah. You know,
I want to see some of these actors' headshots, like Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah, dude. Right? Why don't you do that, too? Look at some of your face. Look at a bunch of headshots them. You like.
I don't know if they don't have headshots. You're like, I'm fucking Steve Buscemi. That's why you're.
He probably has headshots up someplace.
Tom Cruise has a. When's the last time Tom Cruise went for headshots?
I'm sure he has a headshot someplace.
Like, oh, yeah, I should go do headshots. I need a new headshot. I would love that.
It's probably just a screenshot or something. That's funny.
That would be hilarious, actually, to see Tom
Cruise.
Oh, no,
I know what his new headshot is. It's him on that.
Jumping to get.
That, like, thing when he was telling everybody wear their masks. This ATV is always called just. Oh, that's awesome. His new headshot.
That'd be sweet.
It would be.
Okay. Before getting into movies, look.
Yeah.
I've had my wife almost cried tonight because she was so happy.
Oh,
because okay. I played a video to her today of Joe Biden telling people before he signed executive orders that that the nation is not successful and neither are individuals as long as systematic racism exists. This last week, I have been so excited with every executive order that has been passed or that he's written. Even some of them are just proclamations, but what it is to me is it's an agenda setting for like, this is what we're going after, guys. This is what we're doing. And besides the cabinet appointments, which have been pretty much awesome, these executive orders are tackling all these issues that have been ignored and addressed. Maybe some were started to be tackled by Obama, but for different racial reasons, I believe he wasn't able to go for them that Biden is able to without there being repercussions or blame. And it's just like, I feel like I said something about to someone online about like, dude, he mentioned systematic racism. He's addressing it. He's the first president we've had to start talking about it. Because Obama couldn't for a variety of reasons. He really couldn't bring it up with it being.
And also it's so much in everybody's faces right now.
Yeah. But like, but still it was, but Trump wasn't bringing it up or saying it existed.
Oh no, I'm saying like a lot of it is in everybody's faces because Trump helped to help to like bring it up without. Yeah, man.
So I'm like, this is amazing. And they're like, that's not good enough. I was like, this is a first. So I'm like, for me, I'm like, it's blowing my mind. Like, I'm like, but do you realize
how right? You're not saying it's the end. You're saying, hey, you guys, this is a step, a big step. Deal. Yeah. Yeah.
Like the first person to say, the first president said, you know what? We should integrate the schools. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal when all these firsts happen. It doesn't mean, and like Biden said, it doesn't mean that these things are going to change. But we have to work for it and we have to take the lead. And it's just so nice to see that from somebody. And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I had to tell you.
I did. Yeah. I saw that on your Facebook thing and that made me happy. I shared it. I didn't watch the news last night. Watch it later tonight, probably. Yeah. So I'm not quite up to date with all the good things.
Well, I listened to it as. I typed that right after he said it.
That's awesome. Yeah, like, that was really good
to
see.
What did he just say?
Yeah. Right.
And then I just got, I don't know why I bothered. It's like I knew I was going to pick a fight and I didn't really mean to, but I should have known it was going to pick a fight today when I said. So, I don't know. Did you get stimulus money? Did it show up for you?
Because
I didn't get all of mine.
No.
Because you should have got it by now.
Well,
so, yeah.
I may have gotten it yesterday. I just didn't open the mail yet.
Oh, like a check?
No, I think it was a card. Are they putting it on cards?
Oh, you know, I didn't open it.
But I was like, is this it? And then I was like, I'll check it out later. I was hoping it would be a check. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad I got it.
What did you get before?
If that's what I got.
Did you get a check?
Direct deposit last time.
Well, it'd be weird that they sent you a thing then.
Huh?
Then they should direct deposit again.
They didn't though, because I checked online to see when am I getting it, and it said that they sent it out on the 6th. And then, anyway, I should go I should go run and open my mail right now so I can tell you.
I got money in here.
Yeah.
Look, when he said, they said, here's what I remembered. This is all I remember. The Congress passed $600. Trump said it should be $2,000. And then the House was like, yo.
It was crazy. It was like one of the first times I agreed with him.
Hey, okay, we'll write $2,000. It's called the Cash Act. It's amending that one thing from 600 to 2000. And so, and then they're like, no. And so then they were running in Georgia and saying, we're going to get you that $2,000. We're going to do that.
Who's the they?
The Democrats. Democrats and Biden said, we're going to get
I knew that. It was just in case.
We're going to get you the $2,000. So in my mind this whole time, I've thought, oh, so we're going to get another $1,400. That's awesome. And then 2 days ago, I started reading people complaining about this, saying, no, they said they would get us $2,000. And I was like, well, that's no, it's total. And then I was like reading a couple of things. I'm like, people are they serious? And so I went asked a couple people I knew that want to follow politics, and they're like, No, it's 2,000 total. So as far as I knew, like everyone following it knew that. And I get it. I get people that don't watch politics much. I can see my wife would have been like, so what's going on? How much are we getting? Like she wouldn't know. She's like, well, we are? Okay, whatever. So it never occurred to me that people were upset. So
I like that you said, oh, okay, whatever. Like you guys just like wipe your butts with dollar bills at the house. I know.
The thing is we're employed. So right. It's not like I'm though. You know, I don't personally, I think the everything, it should be a lot larger. I think it should be.
Right, because like I was following that thread, and by the time that one person said that, I was like, yep, that's something everybody can agree on.
Yeah, we all, yeah, everybody wants that. Yeah, I'm talking about reality right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think, but I'm essentially employed. I'm less employed now. I mean, I'm just not working as much because of pandemic and safety things. But so, but for us, a stimulus check, if we were to use it as intended, would be we should go buy a PlayStation. We should go buy some stuff. Go out
your headshots.
Yeah, headshot. Exactly. Actually, it is stimulating the economy money. When it goes to people who are broke, they're going to pay their rent. They're going to pay their bills, a debt. That's not necessarily stimulating. It's not going to stimulate things.
Right.
So it should go to people who don't need the money necessarily as much, because the middle class is the only one who moves the economy. It's lower income do in some certain sectors, and they do it by buying things that they shouldn't get, right? Because you don't got the education or the you're in the poverty cycle. It's rough. The middle class is the one who has enough money and spends it on capitalist things that we don't need, which is what drives consumerism, drives our whole economy. So that's who you want extra money to. But you can't really like just give it to people who don't need it. Right? That's just cruelty. Like everyone else should be getting unemployment checks or whatnot. They should be doing anything. Like if my wife was just on her own, like if we're just normal people and she's just a medical person and I was just a medical person, we're not unemployed. We don't need extra money. I mean, yeah, everyone needs money, but you know, we should be balanced theoretically. If you didn't lose our jobs or weren't really affected by it, but we help the economy if we go, if I go down to Taster's Walk in Linwood and pick up some Egg Foo Young.
Oh, Egg Foo Young.
Yeah. It's one of my dishes I love that no one else in my house does. So
I've never had it. I don't think I've even heard of it.
It's like an omelet. Ah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, when you did you think you were going to get $2,000 in addition to this 400-600?
No, I thought it would be 2,000 total if it even happened. But I could see where if people had already received their $600 or whatever amount it was that they were going to receive, if they already received their amount, and then after that, if they saw something saying we're giving you 2,000, like you're going to get your $2,000 stimulus, I could totally see why they would think, oh yeah, because I need more. Like I, you know, they, you yeah. know, because they do, you know, especially if people are unemployed right now, they're like, oh, okay. They're trying to make it right. So I could 100% see why somebody would think that, if they had already gotten their first check, or I could see why there would be a misunderstanding. I mean, I just happen to understand it. I just happen to understand it the other way.
I you guess. Know? I get the misunderstanding part, but I just don't get the, wait, you didn't, like, you're refusing to see why you misunderstood?
Well, the way that I could see that is like, I could see that because, I mean, people have had promises broken to them a lot. So it probably just seems like another time a promise was broken to them. So, I mean.
But I get it if you're not politically astute. If you're following this, you know, I'm like, you got to know what it was. I don't know what you're talking about. If you've been following from the beginning, you think I never heard an additional 2000. I never heard him say 600 plus another 2000. There was maybe an inference. I think they just inferred something that they wanted to be there. And I'm just like, it's irritating because I feel like, it's also mostly from people who basically complain about Biden and the Democrats all the time anyway. So I was like, y'all never liked them anyway. So
yeah,
this is another excuse.
I mean, yeah, of course I'd be very frustrating then. Like, again, this is me just not seeing, not knowing who these people are, not knowing what information they have, and just being like, yeah, I guess I could see both ways, you know?
Yeah, I can. Well, no, my point is, well, look, I see why you said that, but do you get your why you're wrong now, right?
No,
the just Democrats lied.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's your stance on everything.
Oh my goodness. I'm not going to say whose name this is. So if they're listening to this, they might not know that it's them. But the other day, I turned on my Facebook and I saw somebody said, who I know is a Trump supporter, that I was thinking after the insurrection attempt, I was like, I hope they're not a supporter still, but I didn't, you know, reach out to them to say anything. And I saw that they said, so what are the new president's, so what are Biden's accomplishments now that he's in office? I'd like to see a list of his accomplishments. And I was so mad. I'm like, this has been one, it was like one day after. I was so mad. And I'm like, how can you even... And also, how about trying to not have people capture senators and say kill the whatever? You know, I was going to interact, but then I was like, you know what? No, I've already tried to like, if they're still pro-Trump after what he like, after one of the most obvious ways of, I was just like, no. And so I didn't unfriend them. But I did hide them because I was like, I don't need to see this shit on my timeline. I was like, no.
It's.
Yeah.
It's weird for me. You know, it's funny, like as a. When I've liked presidents. But I wasn't like. Wear their t-shirts. I never wore t-shirts with them going like, yeah, Obama. Yeah, Clinton. Yeah, I love that. You passed. Oh my God. I was never like that. But I'm like, no, I like these policies and I like what they did. Like I could talk about it, but it's just, it's the fandom obsession.
I wish I had mittens on right now that I could just be like, you did it. Just had on like Bernie's mittens. Oh, what a fun meme.
Yeah. That was the meme of the year.
It was so great.
It's only January. We're going to be popping 2021. Yo. Hey, so we both watched different things this last week.
Yes.
You wanted to study crack, apparently. Or something.
Well,
right?
Apparently Netflix thought I did. It was like, highly suggested to me.
If you liked
Little House on the Prairie, perhaps you'd like to learn about crack.
Okay, so I didn't have a chance to check it, but so what was the crack documentary? Was it informative?
Goodness. It was so informative.
I was a little shocked by what you said. Hey, I watched these things. I was like, Samantha? What happened to I want happy stuff? And then you're
sometimes,
like,
you know,
crack and murder.
I know. It's so true. That's what I was watching. You know, the moods change, right? Sometimes you want a little bit of this. Sometimes you want a little bit of that. You know.
So Cracked, it's called?
Or Cracked? Yes.
Okay. So what is it?
I don't remember I don't remember what the subtitle is. But it's basically this like documentary about how crack became such a epidemic and the war on drugs and all of that. And it was crazy. Like, honestly, it was like, holy crap, to see like all these other forces at play, right? That allowed it to happen, allowed it to fester, allowed it to build. And certain things like I'd never thought of. I mean, given I was like a kid when like some of these campaigns were out, like Just Say No Drugs and all that, like, you know, all that stuff. But the way that I remember learning about it, it was like very much like black inner cities, like very much villainized and like they're the source of it and blah, blah, blah. And they're the ones that are being punished the most and blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I learned from the documentary that was quite like, I hadn't thought about, I mean, now I'm older and this and that, I'm it's just later on, somebody brought up, like, you know, if it was such a war on drugs, why were they being so harsh to the victims of it? You know, like, people weren't getting treatment. People are, obviously, hello. Yeah, exactly. You watch this, if you don't see me and Silas head nodding to this, like, yeah. We know why. You know, because then they talk about too, like, you know, you talk about the opioid epidemic now and how it, like, it is also treated maybe a little bit more from a health perspective, maybe. But I mean, I don't know. The other thing they were talking about, which I hadn't realized, is they said that I think it was a majority of crack users were not Black.
You know what?
And like, almost all the press I'd ever seen for it was only like,
yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a Black culture drug or something. Yeah. Like, I just thought it was hipper or something. Have you seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
So there's a scene in there where the guy's like, dude, smoke some crack with me. And I was like, what? White people smoking crack? I mean, at that point, I had already known that. But I was like, what an interesting scene. Like, they actually put this in here.
Well, because it also, too.
Yeah, it's just an intense drug. It's just an intense cocaine.
Well, exactly. Like, that it started with cocaine, right? It started with cocaine, and then crack was the cheaper alternative.
Yeah, plus and didn't have to do the nose thing. I don't know.
What?
For me, anything with the nose sounds harsh to me.
I mean, both of those sound bad. But
yeah, I know, but smoking something doesn't sound, even though I know smoking it is horrible for you and what it does.
I say
I know
harsh. That's
horrible. Maybe. But just the whole.
No, I'm saying, like, cheaper alternative.
Things in the nose just sound, I'm like, how can you enjoy that? That just doesn't sound pleasant. But apparently people like it, nose candy and whatever. I never liked anything in my nose. I still don't. Still not a fan of things in my nose.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Will not give you some nose
what
stuff.
Else? What goes in the nose?
I don't know.
Nothing the pleasant.
Earrings, carrots.
Carrots?
Change purse. I don't know.
Nothing goes in the, it's an exit only.
Yes, it is. I'm just messing with you. Yeah. So, but yeah, so like it started with the cocaine, but then when you see, cause there was some other shady stuff happening too, which I don't know how many spoilers we want to give here, but like I want to get the details accurate. But the other thing was seeing privatized prisons, the huge rise in the number of people being incarcerated because of that war on drugs, and the way that the police have been militarized because of the war on drugs, and all of these things. And like from the documentary, it looked like the crack people could do, you know, just they were just letting it like grow and fester and whatever in the community. Like, who cares? Like, the police weren't paying attention. A lot of them were being paid off, right, according to the documentary. Right. But then like the second it starts to like affect more of the more of suburban culture, then that's where it's like, this is bad. Now we got to like be hard on it. And it just, anyway, it was really eye-opening and it was very upsetting. It was also, there was also this part where it's like, you know, when you don't see how things really are and the other forces at play that are making it in power that are making it happen, and you just listen to those, whoever's in charge, like on the media, like the people in power, and they're talking to you and your community so far removed from everything, it's easy to believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt a little bit bad. I'm like, oh, I believed all that stuff, you know? So
what is the, what is the movie or the films? Like, is there a lesson or a message? Like, what's the point of the documentary?
Oh, it's about it being like a conspiracy and about like it.
Like a crack conspiracy movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's basically about like how it started and how it was allowed to grow And the way that it like negatively impacted the community and like some of the shady stuff that the government did, the way that like, the presidency at the time, like used their fight on the war of drugs and how that,
you know, what's funny though,
like stuff like that
does seem to be a,
and stuff like the CIA or White House supposedly knew or something. Yeah.
There's like a tendency on some crimes is to go after the sort of the victims or it doesn't feel like they go after drug users really hard, but not as much the drug sellers.
Exactly.
Which is what Kamala Harris was doing when she was a DA in San Francisco. She changed the efforts to go after the drug dealers instead of the users.
Mm.
And people get upset because they locked up so many people. Like, well, she was going after the, you know. Oh, by the way, just a side note, you know, sometimes things like crack, whatever. Do you know there's a lot of times that these drug charges are used because they're easy to get them booked on it?
Oh,
like,
dude.
Instead of, like, they're like, this person is a murderer. We know they've killed these people, but we can't prove it. But they definitely had 100 pounds of crack.
Dude.
So we're going to put them in jail for that.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you want to watch it after my stellar briefing of the documentary. But like, man, because, yeah, that was the other thing, too, is seeing like how much harder the laws were for your time in prison for having a little bit of crack versus cocaine.
No,
exactly.
Fucking racist. Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Absolutely.
It's just, and then the other thing, they said something where it was like, gosh, who said it? Where they're like, oh, how did all of these tons of, or like packages of somehow cocaine, all these packages managed to come into the country without our knowledge?
Wonder why.
Seriously? Yeah.
It's, well, I was thinking also prostitution. They try to get the prostitute instead of the sex worker, I'm supposed to say now.
Oh, and I don't know.
Not the John, you know, the guy
I was
trying to
thinking
get it,
of
they
that.
Go after, they go after where you crack down on them so they won't go looking for it. And then the whole issue
it's
is
so true.
It's a whole, like, if you're making it illegal, you shouldn't go after them. I have issues with that anyway, since it's sort of to a degree of victimless crime that I don't really think should be
that kind of working. Yeah, because I was watching Outlander and they, you know, they have like these prostitution houses every now and again in the show.
Uh-huh.
And that's what occurred to me. I was like, man, the women are seen as like the scum of the earth and they're treated so badly. And then these, like, it's all these men in positions of power that come in.
Look, even when it's not like just illegal, like people always make fun of the sex worker for being a sex worker, but not of the guy for needing to pay to get sex and not like because it's therapy or something. Right. Like I like, there's part of me that's also like, I don't even think drugs should be illegal, but I think they should be regulated. I think there's probably some drugs should be illegal, but most should not be.
I don't know.
If they don't cause people to do harm to others, I don't know why they are illegal. If we're going to allow booze, I feel like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I suppose there's like a lot of different types of drugs, because like the ones we were talking about so far.
Yeah,
like,
no, crack is awful. Like, I don't think that's because it's
right.
Anything that's highly addictive, I don't think cigarettes should be illegal because they're made to be highly addictive. So I guess that's the thing. I don't know. I get torn about it. I just think if some drugs were legal, people wouldn't bother use the intense ones that are more addictive. Like meth you shouldn't use because you do it once and you can be an addict. So it's scary. You know why meth is tackled at the dealer side?
It's what?
Why they attack meth at the dealer side and the maker side?
Because it could blow up a house?
Yeah, because it's real estate. It affects business.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it really hurts the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they care about that. And also because they'll especially if they're running them in white neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
then they care about yeah. them, but not so much in the other. Okay, and then you watched a murder movie, right?
Yeah, actually, we watched Night Stalker first, and that's a limited series, like 4 episodes.
Oh, only
yeah,
four.
We watched that first. We watched it first, and then we watched. Oh, what should we watch next? Oh, we want to watch Crack. Yeah.
There's some comedies on here.
Fun weekend.
Nah, girl. Let's watch some murder. So what's the premise? The serial killers, right?
Holy crap. Yeah. Serial killer back in Los Angeles.
Is it true crime? True crime kind of movie? Film?
Like, it's true. Yeah.
True crime. Yeah, yeah. But it's documentary.
Yeah. And what was cool is it was told from the detective's point of view, which was really neat. Because sometimes they don't have it from the detective's point of view.
So like when they're first walking up on the crime and then as they're figuring
out.
Well,
yeah, it's just kind of like how they're following, like getting the clues. Like it starts with like one detective.
Isn't that like every crime movie, though? Like they follow the...
Well, maybe like the movies, but... Okay. Because sometimes it's like, well, anyway. and like, actually, the way that it was filmed was pretty interesting, too. I liked some of the effects that they had that helped tell the story.
Yeah.
Because since it was like all over LA, well, the LA area, and then, you know, because it's so massive, they'd have like the map and it would like shift and show you like, okay, here's the name of the town here. And then it would shift and show you where the next location was and this, that, and the other thing. But it was very highly, extremely disturbing. Yeah, but a really good series. And the detectives were pretty awesome. Like one of the main ones just seemed like such, like they seemed like good people.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the, why should I watch it? What is it? What am I learning? Something?
I mean, you find it interesting to learn about.
Does it give me good ideas?
Oh, to protect yourself, maybe it can help give you more ideas to protect yourself. Yuck. Come on, Silas. It's just, I mean, every now and again, I like to watch those because they're fascinating.
You played Lady Macbeth too.
Well, yeah, but that was different. I mean, it was so scary. Don't get me wrong. Like I woke up a couple of times in the night on like, because I think we watched 3 of them on Saturday. Was it? And like, I woke up a few times in the middle of the night, like I was scared. I was just like, it was scary, but it was interesting. I had no idea that that person had even exist. Like, I'm glad I didn't know they existed, but,
yeah,
this one was like a particular kind of crazy. And I was like, man, if only Dexter were there, he would have taken that guy out before he could have killed anybody.
Okay. So you'd recommend it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you like documentaries about like crime stuff, watch it. Yeah. It's filmed really well and was interesting and disturbing.
Well, I watched 2 non-documentaries. I watched 2 drama films this week, which is actually unusual. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing a lot of comedies and such, but. I watched the new Netflix George Clooney film, Midnight Sky.
I didn't see that.
It's a science fiction film. It was made for Netflix or they picked it up, whatever. Definitely big budget. Like, certainly it's full budget. So George Clooney is this scientist who's this is like the first 5 minutes of the film, right? It just says it. It comes up and says there has been a global disaster and people are seeking shelter. and he goes up to George Clooney, and he's not, he's like they're evacuating this base in the Arctic, it looks like there's a big giant satellite dish staring at, and it sounds like people are heading off to go somewhere, like underground somewhere. They're being helicoptered out, and a woman is looking for, like, can't find her kid, and somebody says they're already ahead. They already went in a helicopter. And then they and George Clooney says he's not going because he's like, I'm dying. I don't think that'd make it anyway. And I want to monitor for the ships out there. And then we find out that there are spaceships out trying to colonize. For not knowing, had nothing to do with the disaster. Like, he was the scientist that really figured out that there may be moons and places that we could colonize, and led expeditions through this. Okay. So we find that out in the course. And so he goes and looks up tracks after you see that he's really sick and stuff. He starts tracking, he goes to see what ships are out there, and he finds one that that is on its way to Earth still. And he says, I got to contact them and tell them to turn around, because now they were going to see if there was able to live on this moon. But the satellite won't connect to them. It's too weak for where they are. So he finds a little girl that didn't go with everybody in the station. Right. And so and he's trying to get the people to come back. He's radioing for them, but nobody's answering. And so he has to take her. They're going to go to another Arctic station with a bigger antenna that should be able to reach them. And so that's half of the movie is on the ground. The other half is in space with these people returning. And they've discovered that there is a viable place, a moon, and they show a little clip of them being on it. And then they've been in a blackout because of the way it travels, a 3-week blackout. So they have no idea there's anything wrong with Earth. And they come out of it and they can't contact anybody. No ships, no Earth. They don't know what's going on. They think there's something wrong with their system, probably, right? So it flashes back between the people, life going on the spaceship and life on, and George Clooney, basically. And half of George Clooney's tale is him remembering stuff from the past. Like like what led him to that and what led to this journey and such. And so I will say I liked the film. I did like it. But part of me felt like I just wanted one of these stories. I felt like it was a hard time. It just was, I don't know how you tell the story without all these parts is part of the problem, but I was like, okay, wait, it's in the past sometimes, and sometimes it's in the Arctic, but then sometimes it's up in space. But I think some of the stuff in space might have to do with some of the stuff in his past. But I was like, just tell me one of the stories. Just tell me the story of the people coming from space. I want to hear that.
Sounds like a long form improv show.
Maybe. You know what? I can't believe it was an hour and a half long. It was actually really short. I was really shocked at how quick it was. Not that it felt particularly long, but it was like a lot of story.
Right. In that amount of time.
George Clooney. So the little girl with him doesn't speak. Right. So she reacts to him, but doesn't speak. So it's sort of almost a solo performance for him for a lot of the film, except in some of the flashbacks. And he does a great job. And he directs the film also, because that's what he's doing now, right? Directing and acting. And he does a really good, I mean, it's a solid George Clooney performance. Like, it's like, oh, that's good. I wish I could see it on a big screen, because some of the space stuff was pretty killer, and I wanted to see that, and I wanted to see some of the storms, like in the Arctic, because you know he can't just, like, you know, it's a movie, so he can't just, like, hey, let's go to the other one. Let's just have a non-interesting journey to get to the other satellite, right? You know, there's the global catastrophes coming on in, causing some stuff. And so, yeah. But it's a cool sci-fi. What I did like about it is one of the few sci-fi films that's come out that it actually seems more like science fiction rather than fantasy. Hmm. You know? And if you do end up watching it, I really want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, because I was like, it sounds like a film I don't want to watch. Oh.
It's just the ending that I want to talk about.
Well, if you really want to talk about it, I might get around to watching it sometime then.
90-minute film because
I might. You never know. I could put it on while I'm doing laundry and listen to it or something.
And then the second film I watched, I just watched last night. It's called White Tiger. And I got to look it up. I don't know if it was filmed. I don't know if it's an American film filmed in India or if it's an Indian film that just got distributed in the US, because it's in English, most of it. It's about this. Do you know, like India has lower castes and upper castes, so the old caste system, and this is about a lower caste guy who like dreams of being a servant. He wants to be a driver for somebody. Like that's his goal. And so he manages to go get a driving job for a family of somebody that would come by the town to collect money from them for whatever, renting or whatever. You know, in India, they showed all this corruption in India between just the business people and the politicians and everything. But he goes there and then he gets hired. He gets a job as the second driver, not the main driver, because he's so very to, you know, help them and do whatever they want. And oh, they're you're awesome. Like you're going to let me be your servant. You're my master. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so awesome. But he's going to be the driver, particularly for the son who's just come back from America with his American wife. Like his wife has been in America since she was like 4. Mm-hmm. So she's basically American, but she's technically Indian. And he's went over for school and matter, but he's very westernized, right? Mm-hmm. And so you get to see this clash of between how the Western people who are westernized think, like how they're treating this guy.
Yeah.
Like they're like telling the other people to stop. Don't talk to him like that. Or what are you doing? Like, but it has such, it's so informative on the way the caste system works, just like how people are treated, how they see themselves and what they want to do. And I mean, it sets it up very, from the very beginning of it, I guess it's based off of a book. You see this guy who is.
Oh man, this is the part where I might take off the headphones because like this already sounds like a movie I want to watch.
Yeah.
Which means I don't want to know anything else.
You don't want to know anything else? Okay. Well,
no, but yeah, I'll let you tell the listeners.
Okay.
They might want to hear.
All right. The very first minute of this is about they show him what's going to be in the future in a suit. He's very successful. And you're going to know about his journey on how he got there to be this entrepreneur type person. And yeah. Okay. All right. You can come back on. So I recommend it. I think this is a film I would actually watch. I kind of want to watch twice. I'd almost say I love it.
Yeah. Because if you don't watch it twice too.
I think so because I'm like, I think there's a lot more in it than I even caught.
Yeah.
It is such a, it was such a cool, like I saw it was trending. And I don't know if it's because it was a book and those are easier to trend or whatnot, but great actor in it. I mean, everybody was really,
it's really so fascinating. Good in it. Yeah.
I'm sure like it's gotta be an indie film, but
cool.
Doesn't look like it.
I just made sure to like pull it up on the phone.
India itself, everything I've heard about it is so, feels so complicated in that it's like there's so many beautiful parts to it. But then like I've had people from there talk about like, yeah, but then we don't have toilets.
Yeah.
And there's just full on people you go by and they're just like going to the bathroom, right? In these areas, and like that would actually fix a huge part of the problems there if they could just get like,
yeah, and I wonder where plumbing. I wonder if it's like how common that is and like what percentage of the country is like that.
So poor. It's so poor. And it's just coming up and they really need, yeah, just indoor plumbing would change so much for them. All over. It's so like there's part of me that doesn't want to go there to face my wealth. Like any American who can afford to fly there to visit has wealth, right? Compared to what they have. And that's just, that makes me feel horrible. So I don't want to have to face myself and look in the mirror. That's why I haven't gone to India. That's my story. Okay.
Because there's mirrors everywhere.
Huh?
When you get there, they greet you with mirrors.
I can, yeah. Because if I go to Jamaica, I can just go hide on the beach and not face any problems.
I just imagined you getting like extensions of faux locks in.
Oh, yeah? You can see me with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the beads on the end. I got a good imagination. Hey, you could use that for one of your headshot looks.
I don't know how you get extensions on this. I'd have to go.
I don't know.
But yeah, White Tiger, check it out. Yeah, Netflix.
Really good.
I feel like everything I recommend is on Netflix, but this weekend I'm going to watch. Do you have HBO?
Mm-hmm.
You do? There's a new film. I think there's a new Denzel film coming out.
Ooh.
That, you know, they're doing the whole, it's coming out in the theater, and so they're dropping it on HBO, which I'm against, but since they're doing it, all that's the way I review films, so I'll do it. Because in the future, one day, hopefully, I just get to see movies ahead of everybody.
You gotta keep people out of theaters for now, right?
Well, I don't think it's keep them out as much as they're trying to figure out how to get these movies out before they're irrelevant.
Well,
and they won't have a huge backlog. It's actually going to be a problem having a backlog of films because they won't know where to put them because they'll pull from each other. And they're already psychologically thinking about what people will go to a movie theater to see.
Mm-hmm.
All you're going to be blockbusters back to back all the time. That's what's going to be for the next year when everything opens. You're not going to see indie films. Your little dramas, your little English Renaissance. No, it's going to be Marvel, DC, Star Trek, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, whatever they think.
It better not be only that. I want to see other stuff too.
Something, they got to get people there. They got to do what is going to draw people in, and people aren't going to like just go, I'll just wait for that to come on Netflix. They're desperate. They're desperate. They're going to be desperate. They got to. These movie chains. Yeah. So that's it. So I'm gonna check that out. Maybe we'll be able to talk about it next. So that's my preview. Hey, some film on HBO is coming out.
Yeah, I know.
It might be Denzel or some other black guy. I was
waiting for the title. You were worse than me that time.
Little Steps, I want to say. Little Steps.
Tiny Toe Prints.
Tiny Toe Prints. You know what? If that's not the name of the film, we are going to make a film. We're going to make a film called Tiny Toe Prints.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Thank you.
Black and a Half presents Tiny Toe Prints. But that's just, or is that just a film about a baby?
You know, initially I thought that, but then I thought it could be like a hamster, like a renegade hamster. That has to go into the trenches to save, I don't know, something.
It No, that's, it could be a hamster. That sounds like a 48-hour.
Right? I was thinking challenge. That too.
The, here's yeah, a title. Yeah. Now you need to come up with something. And, but then people are going to, like they'll just come up with super weird crap, right? Okay, the movie, by the way, it's called The Little Things. That's what's coming out.
Oh,
and it is Denzel. By the way, Denzel has another movie coming out this, he has another movie coming out this year. Do you know what it is?
Is it an August Wilson one?
No, I think you're going to be super excited about it.
Oh, tell me, what is it? I can't wait.
He is playing Lord Macbeth in Macbeth. It's in post-production.
What?
It's in post-production right now.
Oh, dude, you're so right. I'm so excited. Who's playing Lady?
Let me click on this. Macbeth, original title, 2020. Directed by Joel Cohen. A Cohen? Let's see. Frances McDormand?
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
From Fargo?
Dude, really? I was telling you.
That's Lady? Wow.
I was telling you I was watching, like, I think they're a little bit older than they would traditionally be cast, but I don't care. I want to watch them. Did you see,
oh yeah.
Well, it's not like people lived that long back then in the day anyway. But anyway, no, dude, I was telling you about that one show I watched with her mostly because she's so freaking good. Kittredge or something. It was not a pleasant thing to watch. I mean, it was not a feel good show, but it was, the acting was so good. And I just wanted to find out what happened to her. It was really good. Yeah, I think it might have been on HBO. It was like a.
Okay, now I'm. Wait, Nancy Dally is Lady Macbeth's nurse. Ooh, okay. I recognize her.
Oh, man. I'm so missing. Like, part of me was just like, what if I just record some Shakespearean monologues just to, like, be getting to do, just to get to do it, you know?
Okay. I bet I know what they're doing.
I miss doing stuff.
Catherine Hunter. She's from her work in Harry Potter, Lord of the Fiends. I'm like, what? What'd she do? Is playing witches.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Cool. Doesn't say which one, which two. I'm like, oh, but they'll do a whole thing.
Oh, when is it? When is it? It's in post, you said?
It just says, yeah, it's in post. It says 2021. Oh. So,
dude, that's so exciting.
Yeah, I might.
What if it comes out around my birthday?
I might check that out. I've directed that before. So
sweet.
Yeah. Hey, that's our hour.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about everything. We had so much to get to today.
We didn't?
No, we didn't talk about Harriet. But that's okay. We didn't
talk about Harriet. Maybe
we could save that.
Have you seen the Harriet movie?
I didn't see it yet.
I didn't either.
I want to watch it to support, but.
Yeah, I know. We could talk about that too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in this week. We're going to get back to guests. We'll have guests for you soon, but, you know, we just need a break. I got some guy keeps emailing me. I'm going to have him on.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I gotta be stopping a jerk and respond.
Yeah.
It's work when people aren't on the right coast, you know? So
it is a little tricky.
Yeah. Well, I'll get it down.
It is a little tricky.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll be back next week. Stand by to receive our transmission. We're gonna be your stimulus.
Tiny toe prints? Is that what we're calling?
We're your stimulus. We're your $1,400 stimulus. Right here,
you can't put a price tag on me, baby.
That's right. Join us, Progressive. Join us, Progressive. Join us, Progressive. Live long, live long, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.